Radio Maria now presents The Will of God with Father Robert Young, a program in which Father Robert takes a look at the writings of Luisa Picaretta. And now, here's Father Robert Young with The Will of God.
And good morning, dear friends, and welcome to all of you. Thank you for joining us for The Will of God and the life and writings of Luisa Picaretta. I am Father Robert Young. Today is the vigil of one of the great solemnities of the Church, a rather new one, Christ the King, celebration, the solemnity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ the King. As you know, it was a feast, a solemnity actually instituted by Pope Pius XI in the lifetime of Luisa, instituted in 1925 as a defense of the sovereignty of God against secularism and against all of the terrible encroachments upon that sovereignty by nations. World War I, and again preparing for World War II. So our Holy Father, Pope Pius XI, instituted this feast. It was at the beginning to be celebrated at the end of October, but in 1969, Pope Paul VI decided to move it to the last Sunday of the year to give it a fuller, more complete meaning of the end times. So being the last Sunday of the liturgical year, kind of has this sense of the end of time as something that we, you know, look forward to in the sense that the return of Christ and his reign, his eternal and perfect reign in heaven and earth, but it also is a sense of the lordship of Jesus. So we're celebrating in a very special way, I think, a feast of the divine will, because the reign of God is the reign of his will. If his will is not reigning, if it doesn't have dominion, power over us and over our human wills and over the earth, then it's not complete. And we know that it's growing towards that completion, but it will not happen until Christ returns at the end of time. So this kingship, I think, is very important for us, especially who study the writings of Luisa, because while this is not a spirituality about the end times per se, it's not about, you know, just preparing for the second coming, though we're always preparing for it. It's really about how to live that reign on earth today, because that's what Jesus prayed for, that the kingdom of God's will, the reign of his will, come to earth as it reigns in heaven. Granted, that prayer will only be answered perfectly, totally, completely, absolutely, when Jesus himself returns. But in the meantime, as we know from the Gospels, that kingdom is among us and within us, and there is a progression of its dominion, of its coming to reign. So this spirituality is really not about the end. It's about now. It is about this reign being known, loved, and possessed on earth today. I would like to also suggest that you might look at the Catechism, number 235, where it says, by the divine mission of the Son and the Holy Spirit, it's plural, that is, the Son has a mission, the Holy Spirit has a mission. Through those missions, God the Father fulfills the plan of his loving goodness of creation, redemption, and sanctification. So the Catechism, the Church, distinguishes three missions of God, in a sense, three ways in which God has worked in the world by creating it, redeeming it, and now since Pentecost, sanctifying it. So it is the new era that we are in. It is the era of sanctification, the era of the Holy Spirit bringing to completion the work of the Father and the Son. And this is the mission of the Holy Spirit that we are learning about in this great work of Luisa Picaretta called The Book of Heaven. A couple of announcements before we begin with this passage, December 6th. Very important announcements, because I would hope that you're able to access all of the programs here at Radio Maria since we began with Volume 12 6 years ago. Well, the archiving of those programs was not possible, at least it wasn't being done yet, when I began the program. So about halfway through it, Radio Maria started making these programs available on its website in archive, that is, its recordings, podcasts. The first half, we're not there. Yesterday, thanks to the hard work of our production manager, Frank Hare, he has put up all of those first 36 programs of Volume 12 now on radiomaria.us under programming. So you go there, you click podcast, scroll down to Will of God, and you will see Volumes 12 through 18, plus another program called The Introduction to the Divine Will. You also can access all of these programs from Volumes 12 through 18, as before, at DivineWillTallahassee.com. We now have a new website, brand new website, called DivineWillLife.org. It is only the archives. Very simple to access. You go, it opens up in big, bold books, each of those volumes, 12 through 18, plus the introduction. So I encourage you to go, and volume 12 especially is very important for this overview of the three fiats, the three eras, the three missions of the Holy Trinity. So I encourage you to go in a very special way. Two programs in volume 12 brought to my attention by one of our listeners. We thank her very much for helping us to see this, that there are two programs that work very well together in harmony on this theme. They are programs from week 34 in volume 12 and week 69. You will find two programs about these three eras. Be a wonderful way to prepare for Advent and for this beautiful solemnity of Christ the King, to listen again to those programs. Again, week 34 and week 69 under volume 12 on any of those websites that where you can access this these programs of Radio Maria. All, of course, based on the Book of Heaven, not simply my teaching, although I'm commenting on them to help us understand them better. But first of all, we're reading together these volumes, these beautiful works, this work of Luisa Picaretta. So just to make that invitation today, to look at these websites, radiomaria.us under programming, DivineWillTallahassee.org, and a brand new website called DivineWillLife.org. You can find all of these programs from Volume 12 through 18, and hopefully continuing, God willing, into the future. Well, long introduction. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Eternal Father, on this celebration, this memorial of the presentation of Mary, we're reminded how she, by her own docility to the Holy Spirit, her own acquiescence to living in the will of God in every moment of her life, by a special dispensation of grace, you have given us a mama, a mother, to help us follow her Son. She is his first disciple and his only perfect disciple. We ask, Heavenly Father, that Mary, through her intercession, could help us to know what it means to live in this reign of Christ the King. She is the queen of this kingdom. She is the queen mother. So we ask you, dear Mary, help us, help us, help us. We need that grace. We need the inspirations of the Holy Spirit to live this way ourselves. We won't do it perfectly as you did. We don't have the fullness of grace. But we've all received from that fullness the part, the portion God wants us to receive in order to live this way, in order to know it, to understand it, for it to penetrate our weak minds, our intellects, to stay in our weak memories, so that it can bring our wills more and more into line with God's will, surrendering to it every moment, so that God's will can reign over it and through it for the coming of his kingdom on earth as in heaven. Thank you, dear Lord, that you've given us this great gift, this divine science of the kingdom of your will reigning on earth through Luisa. Thank you for her docility, her love, her humility, all of the virtues you gave her, all of the special graces that you gave her to receive this gift for us. We thank you and bless you as we honor Christ the King, and in a week beginning the season of Advent to prepare for his coming once again. We bless you, thank you, love you, and adore you on behalf of your church, behalf of every soul, from Adam to the last. Amen. Fiat. Mary, on this memorial of your presentation, intercede for us and ask the Father, Son, and Spirit to help us live more fully in that kingdom of his will. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with the next passage dated December 6, 1925. The living in the divine will, symbolized by the starry heavens, encloses everything. It binds and orders everything. Louisa writes, I was doing in my interior my usual acts in the supreme volition, embracing all creation and all creatures, in order to make all of their acts my own, to return to my God, my little love, for all that he's done in creation, for all creatures should do. But while I was doing this, a thought said to me, you take so much time in doing this. What is the good you do? What's the glory you give to your God? A thought may come to us, very similar. Why are you wasting your time with this way of life? At that moment, my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior and stretching out his arms, it seemed he wanted to embrace everyone and everything. Then rising up high, he offered everything to the Heavenly Father. And he said to me, Daughter, the true living in the supreme will is exactly this. I must find everything and everyone in the depth of the soul. I must find everything and everyone in the depths of the soul. This is precisely what the supreme will of God is. It contains all. Everything that my will has delivered in creation for the good of the creatures must be bound in the soul with her love. Everything that my soul has delivered in creation for the good of all the universe, all things that I've made, must be bound in the soul with her love. By living in my will and through her return of love, she is already bound and in possession of all that my will has done and will do. She loves as my own will loves and can love, that is, has the power to love. So given all of this, by truly living in my will, by having bound everything to herself, in her soul, as he says, I find in the soul the starry heavens, the refulgent, the splendor of the sun, the vastness of the seas, the prairies of flowers, I find everything in her. Therefore, is it not right that the soul, jumping from one thing to another, upon all that is mine and hers, should recognize it, and playing upon all created things, impress on each one of them her kiss, and her little I love you, for the one who has created so many things, to give them as gift to the creatures, displaying to him by this as many different loves for as many different things as he created. Since he so much loves that man be happy, that he gave him not only what is necessary, but also the surplus. You know, like the little widow who doesn't just give what's left over, she gives her very essential sustenance, all that she had to live on. You think God does that with us. He gives us himself, not just what's, you know, kind of the superabundance of his power. He gives us himself. He gives us the gift of his own will. First of all, by creating us, because we couldn't live outside of God's will. But he gives it to us even more profoundly and powerfully in the sacrament of baptism, through the indwelling of the Holy Trinity. You know, our Holy Father says, Pope Francis says, that when God comes to us to indwell, we receive himself. We receive the gift of the supernatural virtues of faith, hope, and charity. They're there. The problem is we don't know it, and we don't use them. So you don't acquire the supernatural virtues. They're supernatural. They can only be given to you because you're not divine. So God has to give them to us. He has to give us himself. We can't grasp God. We can't demand that God give us himself. He gives himself freely through the sacrament of baptism. And when he does that, he gives us those virtues. But they have to be known, and they have to be loved, and they have to be developed and nurtured in our lives. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying here. I've given you everything. You know, by creating you, first of all, but even more powerfully, by giving you myself, the indwelling of the Trinity in baptism. So he says, therefore, isn't it right that since you have everything, and all of it is bound to your soul through the gift of my will that comes in baptism and is nurtured in the will of God through Holy Communion, isn't it fair, isn't it right, that we should return love to God for each one of those things that are in us, that we possess, because everything belongs to us? Isn't it right that we should say, Lord, I love you for every smallest detail, you know, atom or smallest, whatever those smallest particles are of the universe, I love you on every one of them. And he likes to hear us say it. Why? Because he says they're so different. There's so many kinds of things in the universe upon which we, and through which we can place the I love you, to return that thanksgiving and love back to God. Of course, we call that the rounds of creation. Then we can talk about the rounds of redemption for all that Jesus has done to save us, redeem us. And now the rounds of sanctification, all that the Holy Spirit has done is doing to sanctify. He says, but he gave us so much love to make us happy. And he gave us not only what is necessary, you know, the overflow, but the very essence of who he is, which is his divine will. So he says, the essence of true living in the supreme will is this: I must find it all and everyone and everything in the depths of your soul. Now, can we know all those things? Of course not. Our little intellects can't grasp them. But he's saying, they are there, only you can't be aware of it all in your soul, but you can know that I've put it there. And it's that knowledge he wants us to have, that he's already placed it there. All we have to do is know it, trust, believe with our human faith that he's done this for us, and then love him in return. So it's just that simple and childlike. Receive it, restore it to all of creation, return everything back with love to the Father. He goes on, but this is not all. Not only must I find the whole of creation, but since the true living in my will binds everyone, I must find in the soul, as though in act, Adam the saint, just as he came out from my creative hand, as well as Adam the guilty, Adam the fallen Adam, you see, the whole Adam, the true Adam that God created, but also the Adam who sinned, humiliated and crying. So that she may be bound with him, that is the soul in the divine will, may be bound with him in the state of sanctity. See, God has redeemed Adam. Adam's the first he grabbed by the hand when he descended among the dead to raise him up to heaven. So in this, he wants us to be united with Adam, not just Adam who's saved, but Adam who was created and who did his acts in the will of God before the fall. Unite with Adam and all his progeny after the fall, and all of the, you know, the evil that's been done through the human will. We unite with that as Jesus did. He took it on himself. We have to do that as well. But also that now the redeemed and sanctified Adam, who is in heaven, reigning with God, and taking part in his innocent and holy acts, she may give me glory and make the whole creation smile once again. See, all of this life of Adam is, in a sense, representing the whole of creation, because what Adam has gone through, we all go through. So he says, this makes the whole creation also happy, smiling once again. And then sharing in his tears with him, she may long for that rejected fiat which has caused so much ruin. The rejected fiat. Now, this week we heard Jesus, in the Gospel of Luke, say as he weeps over Jerusalem, oh, if you had only known the way to peace, but it was hidden from your eyes. You see, it was hidden from your eyes. He's the one that was hidden from their eyes, because he is the way to peace. And he said, therefore, this city will be destroyed because you didn't recognize me as the way to peace. Because when we don't accept Jesus as King, as Lord and Savior, we put something else in his place that always leads to death and destruction. It was the history of Israel, the history of humanity. So when God is not king, when Jesus doesn't reign, and his will, the will of God reign, the human will reigns, takes over, and we know the consequence. It's very obvious in the world today, which has caused so much ruin. I must find in her the prophets, the patriarchs, the holy fathers, all of their acts. And if those long for the Redeemer, you will long for the supreme fiat, as triumph and fulfillment of their sighs. You see, as they longed for the coming of the Messiah in the Old Testament, it's really, you know, the thrust of everything in the Old Testament is that longing, praying, waiting, learning from God, his laws, his commandments, to prepare for the coming of the Messiah so they could recognize him. But in that waiting for the Messiah, they were also unknowingly waiting for the coming of the divine will, the reign of God, the kingdom of God, to reign on earth. They expected a different kind of king and reign, obviously, but they were waiting for that kingdom, that reign of God's will on earth. As the apostles even say, Lord, are you now going to restore the kingdom? You're going to restore this kingdom to Israel. Well, they missed the boat. What is the answer? You will know. The Holy Spirit will come upon you at, you know, once I'm gone, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then it will happen. It will begin to happen. The reign of God's will be restored to earth, beginning with Pentecost in that era of sanctification. That era, dear friends, is already going on. But what we're seeing today is a whole new dimension of that era, not a new public revelation, but a new understanding of what this era of sanctification is. Pope Francis said to all of the church in Italy when they gathered not too long ago, he said, you know, we are not in an era of change. We are in a change of era. We are living through that change of era today, dear friends. We've been living through it, granted, since Pentecost. But today, that change of era has taken on its most full dimension and understanding that the church has ever had. through this gift of Louisa, and through everything that's come before as well, not just Louisa. Louisa's in, you know, in a long line, a long story and procession here of truth and teaching and holiness in the church, of doctrine, tradition, and scripture. She's a part of it, but she is a very important part because through her comes this redimensioning, this great catapulting, if you will, into a new understanding of what this era of sanctity is about. It is a change of era. So Jesus is saying, just as all of those in the Old Testament longed for and waited for this change, he says, now you too will long for my supreme fiat as the triumph and fulfillment of their longing, of their size. I want to find my inseparable mama with all of her acts, in which my will worked so many portents as she had full dominion over it. You know, God's will acted in Mary from the moment of her conception, we call it the Immaculate Conception, in such a way that God's will had full reign over Mary. Was she free? Absolutely. She never, ever went against that reign of God's will, although she could have. She never did. So he says, this Mary, this Mother Mary, in all of her acts, today we celebrate that presentation of Mary in the temple. We love you, O God our Father, Son Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, for this humility of Mary, this detachment even from her beloved parents. Imagine the suffering involved for them. We put our I love you on all of that. And we thank you that as Mary was presented in the temple to have this enclosure, if you will, this way of living closer to God as preparation and as a way to live out her own consecration to God, she has full dominion in this kingdom. Why? Because God's given it to her. I want to find all of myself and all of my acts. In some, I want to find all my things, everything that belongs to me, all that my supreme will has done and will do, because these are all things inseparable from me. It is just and necessary that they become inseparable from one who lives in my will. See, again, the Catechism says Christ enables us to live all that he lived, and he lives it in us. I believe it's number 524. Christ enables us to live, gives us the capacity to live all that he lives, and he lives it in us. So if all this is part of Christ, you know, with his divinity reigning in his humanity, then he says it's also yours. It belongs to you by right of the fact that your parents possessed it before you. They lost it, but I've restored it, Jesus says. It's yours once again. So if I do not find everything, it cannot be said that this soul lives completely in my will. See, that's why it's a continuous thing. It's got to embrace everything and everyone. And thus, in looking at her, I do not find in her all of my things. I see them spread out outside of the soul, and I cannot receive her return of love for all that belongs to me. Again, that's the ultimate end and goal, that God receive from us, that through us, all that God has created, redeemed and sanctified, come back to him with love. Have I perhaps not created the creature so that she might be a little world and a little God? You know, if that's what Scripture says, we are little gods. That's what the Catechism says it too. This is why I always say to you, by the way, it's a God with a little g, not a big g. We don't have the nature of God himself. But he gives us this participation in his divine nature, the way the Church says it. This is why I always say to you that the living in my will is not yet known. So I keep teaching you now something else. enlarging your capacity so that all my things and all the good which my will delivered may enter into you. We could ask, why did it take so long for Louisa to learn all this? You know, it really started at the beginning of her life, especially at her first communion when Jesus first began to speak to her. But she was learning throughout her life. In fact, all of us could say that. God's been preparing you and me for this knowledge, explicit knowledge. He's been preparing us very implicitly, in a subtle way, through everything that's happened in our lives. Same for Louisa. When you say, why does it take so long? He says, because it's an infinite knowledge. You're going to be studying, you're going to be learning for all eternity about the will of God when we're fully immersed in it in heaven. But we begin that knowledge here on earth because it is the knowledge of Christ himself, of God himself, of what the kingdom is all about. And what the church is all about. So he says, so I'm enlarging your capacity by teaching you more. That's why, dear friends, it is so very important that we don't stop learning about our faith or about the kingdom of his will. That we study, whether it's together or alone, however God disposes that for us in our lives, whether it's through this program or some other teacher or some other commentator. You know, the Holy Spirit is the teacher here. But we all need help. You know, I was very blessed at the beginning of my time of hearing about the divine with very helpful people who had been studying for quite a while and learning from others also about this great gift. And so we pass it on, like parents pass on the faith to their children. Somebody is there to help us. That's why it's so important that in our groups, we, you know, we'll listen to each other, and even the one just beginning can have a lot to say, but those who have been studying and reading for a longer period of time hopefully have a greater grasp of it. They've been receiving it and integrating it longer. Doesn't mean anybody has the complete and perfect knowledge. Only God has that. But we're all students together. We're all learners here, as Jesus says. None of you is teacher. Call no man teacher. You're all learners. You're all disciples. We certainly are. But we can help each other. That's what this program's about. That's what all of our conferences, retreats, whatever it is, books are available to us to help us. So he says, I'm teaching you always something new. Let's be open to what God wants to teach us, dear friends. So that all my things and all the good which my will delivered may enter into you. They're already there. You know, you don't have to look for them. You don't have to create them. God's already done it for all of us. You know, he has offered, as Hebrews says, one perfect offering on behalf of all those to make perfect, all those who are being consecrated. By one offering, he has perfected all those who are being consecrated. That's us. We're in the process of being consecrated. You know, we're consecrated in our baptism. We're consecrated to our Blessed Mother. We're consecrated in our religious life or marriage. We're consecrated in all kinds of ways. We're like that host, only we're a living host that God's consecrating all the time. He's saying now, as that host is consecrated on the altar, I'm going to be consecrating you in every moment by my offering of myself, my consecration to the Father. I'm going to make it possible for you also to be consecrated in an ongoing way. For those who are being consecrated, he does the consecrating, not us. But we open ourselves to it. And our being consecrated all the time means that he's always trying to give us something else, you know, for us to grasp, something else for us to understand, to remember, to live. And of course, ultimately, it's always to live that consecration more fully. I want to hear you repeat to me your return of love in everything that belongs to me. I do not tolerate that one who lives in my will may not know all of my things and may not love them and possess them. Otherwise, what would be the great prodigy of living in my will? Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I mean, if his will is everything, is the source of even the life of God, will of the Father, it generates the Son, together they spirate the Holy Spirit. If that will is the source of it all, then it contains everything else. See, and he say, if that's not there, then what's so new, what's so great about this new understanding? She says, after this, my sweet Jesus remained silent while I wandered around within the divine will. She's always wandering in this kingdom, you know, looking at things, returning God's love to God on behalf of these things. Oh, how I would have wanted to place my loving and grateful kiss upon all created things and my little I love you in all the supreme acts of the divine volition, in order to remain bound to them and they to me, to be able to surround my Jesus in me with all the acts of the eternal will. Again, it's giving back to God, saying, Lord, I love you, and look at all you have done. I surround you with all of your works, of all three of your missions, and I just bring them to you in thanksgiving, love, and adoration, so that it can all return to you. In the meantime, she says, I saw a starry heaven. My adorable Jesus continued, my daughter, look at the heavens. What order, what harmonies among the stars. One star cannot be without the other. They're so bound together that each one sustains the other. Each one is the strength of the other. If, may this never be, one single star moved from its place, that is, in a way that was contrary to its nature, there would be such confusion and disorder in the atmosphere, there would be the danger that everything would end up in ruin. Again, Einstein's theory of relativity says exactly that. So all the beauty of the heaven is in the fact that each one of them stays in its place, in the common union, in the communicative and attractive power which they have among themselves, and which more than electricity, even more than electric currents, keeps them suspended and bound to one another. All of that is because of God's will. He is the one who created it and put it in that order. What we are trying to do is get back to that order ourselves, because obviously the human will has thrown everything into disorder and chaos in such a way that we don't even see or experience that harmony. Christ is that peace. In his will is our peace. In his will is order. It's that harmony, that communicative and attractive power that holds everything together, and which more than even electricity keeps them suspended, bound to one another. Man is the new heaven. Man is the new heaven. And more than the heaven above the earth, it can be said that each creature is an animated star. Reminds me of beautiful words of St. Clare of Assisi. Indeed, is it not clear that not even the heavens can contain their creator? Only we are the dwelling place of God. We are the new heavens, the new creation. Only through humanity, as far as we know, with our limited knowledge of the universe, only humanity can make that claim. All that the first man, Adam, did, up to what the last one to come will do, everything was to be in common, held in common among them. Therefore, man was not to possess only his own strength, but the strength of all. All goods were to be in common among them. That was the order of creation. That's the order we want to return to, that he's calling us, call of the creature to return to what? To the place, the purpose for which it was created. My will, more, and the order it, for which it was created. My will, more than electricity, was to bring among them the bond and the communication of all that is good and holy. It's a living connection, a living current. He's saying it's infinitely more powerful than the material one of electricity that's very real, was being discovered in this time in which Luis was living. It's on her mind, you see. It's something very contemporary, very current. They're just starting to get electric lights in the house. He says, my will was to bring about among them the bond and the communication of all that is good and holy. And even though each one was to do his own office and be occupied with different kinds of actions, since everyone was to start from the primary point of my will, all were to be converted into light, and therefore each one was to be light for the other. That's very beautiful, isn't it? Since my will was the starting point, the primary, the prime motion, you know, is God. He is the prime mover of everything. Because the will of God was the starting point, everyone and everything were to be converted into light. But here I think he's speaking in a special way of human persons. And therefore, each one was to be light for the other. See, if we become light, we can't help but enlighten our brothers and sisters. You can't hide light. It will. I guess you can try. Jesus says you don't. You could try to put it under a bushel basket, but light will shine forth. He says, this light of my will, you know, is going to be known, and people try to block it one way, it's going to go around it, as light can do. You know, it will go beyond these hindrances and obstacles that humanity puts up. Eventually, God wins. This is why my sorrow in seeing this heaven of the creatures being messed up, this heaven of the creatures, that's us, we are the new heaven, messed up by the human will, was so great, his sorrow, as to be incomprehensible to your human mind. We could never imagine the sorrow this caused, you know, to God. Once my will was removed, which binds everyone, connects everything, disorder came in, confusion, disunion, weakness, darkness. Oh, poor heaven of the creatures. Poor heaven of the creatures. It can no longer be recognized. Only living in my will reorder this heaven once again and will make it shine with new light. Pope Emeritus Benedict, in his talk he gave some years ago, in a book called Behold the Pierced One, he says that this communion of will, this way of life that's being given to us through Luisa, and he knew something about it, Pope Emeritus Benedict, he says, only this living in God's will, this communion of my human will with God's will, can once again reorder the world, can save the world, and establish God's reign of peace in the world. So it's the only way any motion, any movement is made towards the kingdom of God, bringing it to earth, is through this communion of will. Otherwise, it's the human will continuing, as Jesus says, to mess things up, to just cause more disorder and more death and destruction. We see it so clearly today. But it goes on, this is why I tell you that I want to find everything and everyone in you. My will, prime act of all celestial and terrestrial creatures. My will is the first prime, only source of all heavenly and earthly creatures will bring you the communication of all their acts, and you will remain bound to them and they to you. Therefore, living in my will encloses everything and everyone. So be attentive, for I want to give you the greatest thing which exists. But I want great things and the greatest attention from you. One who gives much, much wants to receive. To the one who's given is expected more. The more we receive, the more God wants back. Why? Because that's the way it was meant to be. You know, whatever God gives us must return to him. And therefore, we have a greater, in a sense, duty to give it all back to him. The one who gives much expects much. So he says, I want the greatest and highest attention from you in learning, in loving, in living this way of life. So why is he focused here and so often on this all-inclusiveness, you know, this universality of God's will? And why is it so important, if it's going to reign in us, that we have it also? Why? Because ultimately, God wants it all to come back to him. And so we're doing our part through the gift of his will. We're doing our little part to receive it and be aware of just how great this fullness is. You know, what does St. Paul say? Yours is a share in this fullness of Christ, in whom everything resides. Heaven, earth, everything is in Christ, because he's divine as well. He is the king. That's what his kingship is. It's a dominion over everything. It's a universal dominion. And he's saying, if you're going to share in that, then you need to know at least that you have that share, you have that participation in my universal reign. See? And so by knowing it, we can't know it in detail, but we can know it as a reality. St. Bernard says the Christian must come to a point where they don't just know what God's will is for himself or herself. We need to know God's will as it is in itself. That's what we're doing. We're learning that this will of God is the source and therefore brings everything together in itself and wants us to know that we have received it. Everything belongs to you. You belong to Christ. Christ belongs to God. And it is that fullness, dear friends, that we were created to share, created to receive. And now, since Christ came to show us the way through redemption, the Holy Spirit is now leading us through the era of sanctification. We are given this very special way that's available to everyone who wants to know it. It's like the faith. You know, anybody can learn about Christianity who wants to. Anybody who's hearing my voice can learn about this way of life. You know, anybody that God disposes to receive it can hear it. It's meant for all. Will everybody respond to it? Probably not. Most likely, the human will is not going to be able to receive it in many, many people. Jesus says to Luis, at times they will be few. But there will also come a period, I believe, in history when there will be a great receptivity to this way of life, as it is more made known through the church. And there comes, you know, more priests, hopefully bishops, even a Holy Father who can make it known. We're not at that point. We're kind of still, I think, in the beginning. But what a great gift it is, and what a great mystery that God has planted in us, dear friends. Don't be put off, you know, by this exalted and very sublime language. It's so simple. It's so very simple. It only takes our openness, our trust, our human faith, and most of all, our love for God, to believe and to trust he can do this, and he wants to do it for us. I pray that for you as we celebrate Christ the King this Sunday and as we prepare for the beautiful season of Advent, the beginning of a new year. It all comes together some ways in these liturgical celebrations, doesn't it? The end of time, the beginning of everything. Man is the new heaven. That's you. That's me. You know, does it exalt us? Well, it really should humble us because God has chosen us. He's, you know, elected us to be the dwelling place of his own divine will. So we hope we can live up to such a great expectation on God's part, such a great gift, and that we can be a light for each other. You know, let's be a light, not bring more darkness into this dark world. Let us be a light, you know, like the stars in the starry heavens, for one another, especially for this coming of his kingdom, so that more can come to know, love, and possess. Well, dear friends, thank you for being with us today. I ask God to bless you, protect you, and give you the graces you need, each one of you in particular, at the end of this liturgical year, the beginning of a new one. May he give you all that you need to live this life more faithfully and attentively. God bless you, keep you always that heavenly reign of God's will on earth, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in for The Will of God with Father Robert Young. Be sure to tune in again next week for another episode.